Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains during our four-day super sale. The leaves are changing colors, and with 40% off, why not change yours too? Our experts are waiting with colors like Autumn Orchid and Fallen Leaves. Also, receive special pricing on select interior paints, starting at just $29.69. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store October 19th through the 22nd and save. Retail sales only. See store for details.
This weekend at Kohl's, buy more, save more for your family and your home. Take an extra 15% off when you spend under $100, or an extra 20% off when you spend $100 or more. Plus, take an extra $10 off your $50 or more home purchase. You'll get Kohl's cash, too. $10 for every $50 spent. This weekend at Kohl's. Offers valid October 11th through 21st. 15 or 20% off with promo code LEAF. Extra $10 off with promo code HOME10. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Second hour of the show. That means one in the books, two to go as you listen to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. We appreciate you along for the ride. And speaking of the ride, we're on a road show today and tomorrow. Today we are at Carbach Brewing. It is a fantastic place. Obviously, the name itself tells you it's going to be great beverages, and that is without saying. But the food is fantastic. The environment, incredible. It's a beautiful facility inside and out. And you should be here. So we will be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. So if you're in the neighborhood off of 290, 610 area, come on by. Say hello. Say hello. Say hi. We'd love to have you. Cody Stutes filling in for Barry Laminack.
Happy hour starts at 3.
It's always happy hour somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, but it is happy hour here at 3.
Nick, you can be here at, like, what, 410?
Yeah, I can race on over there in a heartbeat. You know that.
I figured. I mean, you might just leave the show, and you could be like Andreas.
Just leave Juggalo Trader on the board. Yeah.
The electronics and just make sure you get food and drink.
I'm up for that.
There you go. I mean, it's possible. We'd love to have you. Okay, so give me your perspective last night on everything that we missed on Rockets, Nick. You were in the locker room after the game. The Melo thing, I'm a little leery of the fact that you've got an MVP, you've got a Hall of Fame point guard, and yet unless they really get off to a hot start after last night, you're going to continually hear about Melo came off the bench. Melo is having to, you know, I got to make an adjustment mentally to trying to do this. And all these Melo things, I think it's a distraction more than it's going to help. And obviously, if he shoots like he did last night, he's not doing anybody any favors.
Yeah, I don't want him to be a distraction because we all know the culture issues that's been in this locker room before and what they had to do to kind of clean it up and make everybody happy and make everything work. And so you don't want another locker room issue. I'm not saying that that's the road that Melo and the Rockets are going down, but you don't want that to happen. He is a little trigger happy. He does want to shoot the ball, but there's a couple of players on the team that are kind of like that. Eric Gordon is one of them. Sometimes when he gets the ball, he just wants to shoot it. Melo coming off the bench, I don't know if that's going to like hinder it or maybe help him realize.
Gordon's a guy, I think Gordon is example one of guys that weren't jazzed that Carmelo was coming to this team because he liked the fact that even though he came off the bench, he got his quota of shots. With Carmelo on this team, he's not going to get his quota of shots, and his contract's coming up.
Yeah, and here's what Carmelo said about coming off the bench and what his biggest challenges were.
Challenging mentally more so than anything. having to prepare for the game differently. But other than that, it's a challenge all the way around. It's just a matter of how I'm going to react to that challenge and accepting that challenge, you know, which I am, which I will do. I mean, for me, it's just more about, at this point, it's more about what I have to do for the sake of the team more so than trying to just go out there and just do whatever.
Can you just take all those comments, Cody, and cut them out and paste them when he was in an Oklahoma City Thunder uniform and realize they're the exact same things and he hasn't done a single thing to do them?
It's a challenge that I will accept and something that I will do. Dude, they told you when you put pen to paper this was the plan. How long does it take to mentally prepare for that? How long does it take to accept that that's the plan for you? Which, by the way, is going to be a disaster. Like it.
The only blessing in all this is it's only going to cost them 2.4 if they decide to pull the cord.
Day one, Carmelo Anthony's like, this is a challenge. How hard could it be?
It's all on me and how I can help this team. Well, will you help this team? Not how, because right now it's a will thing, and your will and your desire is to be who you were at Syracuse and the Nuggets and the Knicks, and you're not even close to being that player. Yet your ego has constantly told you that you are going to consistently take shots, not play defense, want the ball during any and every crunch time situation, and if you get it and you haven't met your quota of shots, you're putting it up as soon as it touches your hand.
How many times have you ended up going somewhere with your boys and, you know, not really wanting to go, but then one of your buddies like, come on, man. Come on, Joel. It'll be fun. You get there and you're like, dude, this was a terrible idea. This is awful. I hate this. I didn't want to do this. You know, usually it's I wasted my money on this. Melo's going to feel that way in a few weeks. I'm boys with Chris Paul. No. He told me everything's going to be okay. He gets there. It's like, man, I don't like this, you know. D'Antoni, I still don't like him, and you know I like you, Chris, and I like you, James, but you know Gordon was kind of cold to me, and you know I don't like Capella's new hair, and you know, I'm not feeling this anymore.
By the way, Capella's hair is a copycat because that's Dennis Schroeder's hair. Just want to make everybody realize.
Yo, the gold spot that he has in his head.
Dennis Schroeder has had it forever. Yeah. Now with the Thunder, previously the Hawks, and now all of a sudden Capella wants to look like he got hit with a bleached water balloon.
That's what you spent your money on? You got paid, and that's what you spent your money on? Is a little spot in your hair?
I mean, you hit on the crux of something, Cody, I've mentioned on this show before, though. There's only two guys in that locker room that definitively wanted Carmelo Anthony. They just happen to be your most high-profile players.
Yeah.
Chris Paul and James Harden are great friends with Carmelo Anthony. And granted, let's just preface all this. It's game one. And they have the ability still to turn it around, but there's too many things that are going against them, right? You lose two of your five best defensive players, then you lose your defensive coordinator, who used to be Carmelo's head coach in Denver and got shown the door because of him. You know that Melo doesn't want to play defense anyway. So everything was defensive-based from the get-go of, is this going to work? But secondly, and more importantly, too, when you see about how he's going to fit in, he's going to have to take a lesser role. It's the same thing we said in Oklahoma City. And his willingness and wantingness to try and do the right thing doesn't seem to be anything high on his priority list.
Like, at what point are we going to be okay with being concerned about the Melo thing? Because like you mentioned, it's just one game. Like, yep. It's one game. I think it's a terrible matchup for them. Like, the Pelicans is just a bad team matchup-wise for this incarnation of the Rockets. So it's just one game. But, like, when do we get concerned about what Melo is or isn't bringing to the table? Is it 10 games? Is it 20 games? Is it 41 games? Like, I don't know what
I don't think you have that much time to waste. Nick, what do you think? I mean, how much is too much Melo? I think, personally, if this goes on for more than the first month and a half of the season, it's time to cut the cord.
I agree with you. I just don't know if they're going to do that. I mean, I'm of the belief, and Joel, you might know better. I mean, the love affair for Carmelo Anthony existed pre-Fertitta, like before Fertitta. So
yeah,
I feel like someone had to sell Fertitta on getting Melo to the team, right?
Yeah, you know, I've said this before, too, when you and I and Barry were talking about this. There was an enamored kind of pursuit of Carmelo Anthony by Daryl Morey for the last 6-7 years. And at the time they started the pursuit, and I hate to use that term because they use that term, but it was when Carmelo Anthony was still at the peak of his game. Now it's like trying to get a stock on the rise like Apple when it was on the way up, but now you're trying to buy it at a bargain rate because you just want to make sure you know you say, I have that in my portfolio, and you're not going to get anywhere near the return on investment.
That's such a good way to put it. Just you've decided something when logically and analytically, which is how they think so
big
often,
time. Yes.
It logically and analytically, nothing tells you this is going to work. And how many times, and I used to make fun of Daryl Morey before the Harden thing. And
why?
Now before
there's nothing to make fun of.
I used to make fun of Daryl Morey because he would stick so close to his guns. This is so not his guns. Like, this is not sticking to who he is. This is not.
You mean when he's not on Twitter, right? Or doing an interview on someone's airwaves that has to be taken down. I just want to clarify.
Right. Just the analytics, the computer, like the printer did not spit out, go get Carmelo Anthony. Like,
no.
It never would have.
And how about the old analogy of if it's not broke, don't fix it. Your team set a franchise record with 65 wins, and if you just brought everybody back, and oh, by the way, gang, let me just throw this out there before we get to break and then bring in one of our fan favorites, Kurt Kurtlow. Trevor Ariza last night, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, was a plus 25 in the box score.
Ooh.
Oh, you people, if he continues to keep this up, are going to hear it from me, and you know who you are. Oh, Kurtlow, did I mention you? Oh, you're on hold. We'll get to you next. All right, it's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5. We're going to continue to roll on. Cody Stutes is in for my partner, Barry Laminack. Nick back at the studio. We're at Carbach Brewing, 29610 area. Come on by and see us. We're back with more in just mere minutes.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick's at the studio. I'm here at Carbach Brewing with my good buddy Cody Stutes. We're going to call this hashtag TUS1. That's for all you idiots that thought that hashtag ITL100 was a thing. In the Loop, show 100. Yeah, been there, done that. We're going TUS1 for the show, the first Usual Suspect show, with our man Cody Stutes, full-time joining us when Barry's out of town. So we appreciate having him here with us. And while you're at it, driving around today, stop by Carbach. That's where we are, 290 and 610 area. But you can catch Game 5 tonight. If you're not going to be at the ballpark, great place to watch it because we know the beer is fantastic. The patio is open. Happy hour. Dinner, because the food is fantastic. I think everybody here from the promo team on had some of the great food, but you need to stop by and just check it out for yourself, because like Sunday, the 4th of November, international rock acts are going to be here with great food, cold beer. April Wine, who I remember from my days growing up with Def Leppard and MTV and everything like that. April Wine, Wolf Mother, Red Fang, The Sweet, and Texas Flood. Okay. Tickets at CarbachBrewing.com, but definitely stop by and check out all the new brews and everything that else is going on at Carbach. A lot of fun going on.
Tasty beer.
Yeah? Well, are you going to sample some? Because, you know, Fred and AJ don't hold back. They'll drink during the show.
I'm not going to do that.
Especially okay. Especially because your coolant thing spraying you in the face and all the issues you got in your truck. I don't want you driving.
No, I'm good now. Maybe a little bit of coolant.
I just don't want you driving with adverse conditions.
No, I'm not. I'm definitely hanging around and knocking a few back after we get done.
Well, Nick, you got a drinking partner. Get over here.
Come on.
Okay, so here's the deal. Kurtlow is on hold.
Uh-oh.
Kurtlow only calls Cody when Barry is out of town because they have a love-hate relationship that's stuck on hate. We're going to take the over-under at 4. And everybody at home can count, play along. How many mans versus you know what I'm sayings are going to happen during this call? We'll find out. Kurtlow, always great to have you on the show, brother. What's up?
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing? I'm glad to hear Nick and y'all got your own new show. You know what I'm saying? Y'all cut Boring Barry. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate y'all.
Nick, that's two. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, it's not definitely a full-time gig with Cody, but, you know, when Barry's out, Cody's in, and it's good fix right now.
Oh, okay. All right. You fell in. I wanted to say, man, you know, Joe, I wanted to so much blame Capella's yellow patch yesterday, you know, for that loss. You know what I'm saying? Either somebody need to hold him down and give him a haircut or something, because I believe that's a curse. You know what I'm saying? We need to take that little yellow flame out of his hair and, you know, get rid of that.
It's a Dennis Schroeder copy thing, and I don't think you want to copy Dennis Schroeder when he's 6'1 and you're 7'1. It just doesn't make sense. It's not a good mix. Okay, I got you on that. Break it down for me like a mother, because I know you love Carmelo Anthony and you want to talk all about the positives of him joining the Rockets.
Man, Joe, this is what happened yesterday, man. The Pelicans is a bad matchup for the Houston Rockets. Let me tell you something, man. They gave up 76 paint points yesterday. You know what I'm saying? That means nobody was guarding the paint yesterday. So, you know, there's so many missed defensive assignments from all over the court. You know, it wasn't just Melo; it was every damn body. But, you know, we can say Melo was a damn contagious disease that everybody just followed. You know what I'm saying? So, but it was a whole bunch of things. I ain't never seen Carl. I'm telling you, Joe, I've been watching the box scores for a long time. I'm a stat stuffer like yourself. If people don't know who Joel is, Joel is one of the had one of the best radio shows with him in Craig Erickson covering the Rockets for years, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, when I hear stats, I look at Joe, but the stat that I saw that really confused the hell out of me was I saw Chris Paul at around minus 21 or 22, and I see James Harden at minus 24 or 25. And then I seen Carmelo Anthony, a minus 20. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking at this. Carmelo Anthony is the biggest problem until he he took three or four mid-range shots. Passed up an open three to take a mid-range shot. The Rockets don't shoot mid-range shots. Why the hell is he so stubborn that he doesn't understand you don't take mid-range shots in this offense? You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? Here's the thing. Carmelo Anthony's going to be who Carmelo Anthony's going to be, man. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He's going to shoot that mid-range. You saw in the preseason, man. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to listen to Mike D'Antoni. He didn't do it in New York. He ain't going to do it in Houston, man. You know what I'm saying?
I don't care what Melo does, and I love the copycat. You know what I'm saying? Because that's, I'm gonna make that trademark.
It's your thing,
Carlo,
man.
You know
Come
saying?
On, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? But I wanted to say just one more thing, Joe, real quick. You talk about this guy like he could score nine points last night, but he was inefficient. You know what I'm saying? So 10 shots to get 9 points. You don't need that. And then when you're giving up 30 points or 40 points, you know what I'm saying, in the paint, then who the hell cares? He never contests three-point shots, Joe, never. Melo will never contest a three-point shooter. You got to put your hands up to contest people in the NBA, or they just going to knock shots down on you left and right. Julius Randle abused him. This is going to be a bad season defensively if Melo keeps playing. They got to get rid of him.
When do you pull the plug on him, Kurt Lowe?
Get rid of
if you're the Rockets, and I know you can't say yesterday, but when do you pull the plug on him?
You don't pull the plug because they all new players. You just got a new shooting forward. You got to figure out. It's going to take time, Joe. Chemistry is going to take a
I'm not saying on the Rockets, Kurt Lowe. I'm saying on your boy Carmelo Anthony. When do they pull the plug?
He should pull the plug. They should send a GoFundMe account right now to send him back to New York City. Because I don't want him in Houston
no more. You can't say yesterday and you can't say today. It's not part of the game. Okay, we appreciate your call, brother. Don't be a stranger. You know Cody's in tomorrow, so I'm sure you'll have more takes tomorrow to talk about. I expect you to break down every NBA game on TNT tonight and come back with a full report. You know what I'm saying?
He dropped. He hung up.
I think it was 10, you know what I'm saying.
All right, man.
Versus 5 mans.
Yeah,
what was the final tally?
Sending it at 3
10
was
and 5.
Way too low.
What, Nick?
I set the over-under at 3. That's way too low.
I said 4, and he blew that out of the water with, you know what I'm saying.
He had 7 before you started talking to him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. At least he caught up a little bit with me with a little sarcasm, but that's not something I normally do.
Yeah, he was sitting there, oh, yeah, I appreciate you making fun of me. Like,
I wasn't making fun, but that's his thing, right? All right, so I already know going in that he's not a huge fan. We got another call, Nick, that
wants
to talk a little bit of Rockets. Robert, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? First of all, I'm a big Carbach drinker, so I appreciate you guys being there representing them. Man, we just need defense. We lost a lot of good, scrappy individuals that brought a nice little defensive presence. I mean, what's that other guy? There's Hardenstein or something like that. That's the only other big man we even have to help Capella out. There's no way.
Oh, Hardenstein. Yeah, I mean, look, Robert, I said it all during the offseason, and people didn't want to hear it, but you lost your two of your five best defenders when you lost Ariza and Mbah Mute, regardless of what happened in the playoffs, and everybody wants to remember Game 7. But all season long, those guys were steady on-ball defenders.
And Carmelo's not bringing anything. Eric Gordon is going to be our third option for scoring. Carmelo is never going to be a third option on this team. He won't even be a second option on any NBA team at all, and he needs to accept that. As soon as he gets over himself, we might have a chance. But defensively, man, we're not going to be able to outscore what our defense lacks. We could last year, but where we lack in defense this year, we won't be able to outscore it. We have to do something with defense. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Let's be honest. Carmelo brings a lot to the table in his hat game. His hat game is strong. He has some sweet lids in the locker room after the game. I got to give him credit for that. He did that last year. He's continuing to bring the hat game to another level.
His Park Ranger game is strong.
Ranger Rick next. I can see it happening. But, yes, the fedora and hat game all over. Good stuff. Other than that, I warned you guys. I said this. I didn't want it because you guys get so sensitive when you drink the red Kool-Aid and you don't get people that agree with you. But I said this. The Rockets have never had a problem scoring points, but they have huge issues defensively, and now you lost two of your five best players and your defensive coordinator, who used to be Carmelo's coach in Denver, and was like, I'm gone. I ain't doing that again.
How disappointing is it to see the fears realized in game one? Like,
yeah.
Like
that, I don't want to jump the gun because it is only one game and they can work it out, but that was a really bad look at home.
Oh, you think Saturday's going to be better?
Nope.
Saturday, when they're going to L.A. today.
Today, a day early, because the boys got to play in L.A. That's not a good thing either, by the way.
So they've got Thursday night, Friday night in L.A., then they got to play LeBron in LeBron's home opener.
On national TV. So he won't be motivated at all.
No.
The crowd won't be raucous at all.
No.
Maybe they should do a James Harden after a night in L.A. bobblehead at Staples Center Saturday night just to get everybody in the right frame of mind.
Going to take some extra plastic, if you know what I mean.
Puffy. Amongst other things, I don't think the suit, sunglasses, and trophy would be replaced by a pole, but I don't know. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on.
Something will be bobbling.
Oh, boy. There you go. And I'll leave that one right there. And you should be right here, Carbach Brewing. We want to see you here. We're going to be here till 4. The Blitz is going to be here till 7. And you've heard us talking about it, but seriously, what better backing do you need than just people giving you testimonials on how great the beer is, how fantastic the food is? Lots of pretty people in here already getting ready for the happy hour crowd, getting ready for the big Astros game tonight. Lots going on. Stop by and get yourself a Crunkin' Punkin' 2.0. Hey! There's a head on that beer, Cody. Also, Raspberry Vase is a Brutal Rose IPA. I'm telling you, Carbach Research and Development beers to try on tap in the restaurant while you're here, while supplies last. Do it now. I see the Stros jerseys are on. People are getting ready for a big game 5 tonight. Let's hope the Stros pull out a victory. But why not pull it out while you're here at Carbach? Because even if they don't, you can either drown your sorrows or celebrate everything with everything at Carbach Brewing. We're here. You should be here, too. We'll be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5, coming to you live from Carbach Brewing, where you should be here to sample the fine beers, taste the fine food, maybe watch Game 5. It's Cody Stutz in for Barry. It's Nick back at the station. The promo team is here, keeping it down, keeping it real, giving you guys free stuff and chances to win others. And then the Blitz will be here till 7. So plenty of opportunities for you to interact with ESPN 97.5. Again, always, I was excited about this day. I'm happy Cody Stutz is joining us as he got on a real radio station and a really good program to share with us some more of his radio expertise. I'm still waiting for your following to come up that all said they were tweeting that they were going to be here. But in the meantime, we do have people on the text message, one that said you absolutely sound just like Patrick Mahomes.
Ah.
Someone else who said they wanted to thank me for making me think that it was Friday, then it slapped me in the face when I realized it wasn't true. Yeah, that's
yeah,
on
that
me.
Was pretty mean by you.
I gotta do my Juggalo tray there.
Yeah, that's on me. Yeah, that's my bad. That's I gotta do better. That's on me.
Taste
that
the freedom.
Is really good.
Yeah, so you don't listen to the show. You need to start tuning in on a regular basis.
That is really good.
The tray is on point. Dreon 290 said, "How about the great White, which wasn't so great, which was on my list? Tyler White not swinging at a single pitch during a pinch hitting appearance. Bad look. Absolutely right, Dre." Hey, and here's the other thing that we got to remind you of. We're on location, but we're all about you guys. Fantasy football. There's a game tonight and then fantasy football throughout the weekend. We're here to help. Our man Sigmund Bloom, we've delayed him by one segment so that you can get in on the show. So the time is now if you want to call to line up your calls for Sigmund to ask your fantasy football questions. If not, just text me on the line, 713-780-3776. Your questions, we'll get them in there. And if you want to tweet me, at Pac-Man Joel, I will sort through all the things. I will play Barry for a segment, and I will get Sigmund all the questions that hopefully he can answer for you. That will be coming up in the next segment. So after the commercial break, Sigmund joins us. So get your questions in now so we can stack them and rack them and get ready to go. How about that? Anything football related that you want to talk about? Because you don't know the game, so I was just kind of trying to stay away from it until we absolutely had to get to it. But, I mean,
that's mean and untrue.
Okay.
It's mean and untrue.
Okay.
You
don't like skinny jeans or Raheel-type suits either?
No, I'm not a fan of
okay,
that.
Okay, then we'll get that clear. Now we're clarifying some things on Cody Stutz today.
I saw some company on Instagram. I don't know why they targeted me, but they had this fat guy dancing around in jeans, and they were like, oh, the best jeans and the most comfortable jeans. And I was like, okay, that's a pretty fat guy. Like, I could use some new jeans. Looks like he's pretty comfortable.
You never thought about pulling the Chris Farley and doing the Chippendale dancer routine on Saturday Night Live?
That was my Halloween costume like 3 years ago.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah.
I need to see pictures of that.
I can provide those.
I could see you. Well, you can't see Patrick Swayze anymore, but I could see you and somebody else doing the Chippendales dance in the getup. That would be a good costume. That should have won some awards.
I swipe up on these fat guy jeans, $100 a pair, and I was like, no, thank
really?
You. $100 a pair. And they weren't even like.
Nick, that's down your alley.
I wouldn't drop that on jeans or anything, okay. Or any sweats or anything like that.
Now, Forever 21, if they got a $100 pair of jeans, our man Laminack is first in line. Dude. Just letting you know. T-shirts, he's there.
He dresses like a 16-year-old kid who lives in River Oaks.
Wow. Isolate that, Nick.
I would agree with that. I mean, he's still rocking Abercrombie and Fitch and Forever 21. And he's
Who dresses 44? More like a prepubescent teenager, Raheel or Barry?
Probably Raheel.
No, it's Barry 100%.
You think so?
Drew says Barry. Cody says Barry. You say Raheel.
I guess I'm outnumbered.
It's like radio show and silent Andreas. Not going to happen. Tosh, who dresses more like a prepubescent girl? I mean, I'm sorry, teenage boy. Barry or Raheel? Barry. Okay.
Raheel's pushing suits. At least he dresses up every now and then.
They're actually not suits. They're like shorts because he has them hemmed so tight. So that. Tight and tall so that you can see his socks that it's just different.
He's wearing capri suit pants?
Pretty much Payne Stewart's answer to pants is what Real's got going on those suits. All right, so we got Sigmund Bloom coming up, so we might as well talk some football heading in. Interesting that the Bears are playing the Patriots this week in Chicago, and obviously Khalil Mack is off to a great start for the Bears. So Belichick in his press conference was asked yesterday if he thought that Khalil Mack could be compared to Lawrence Taylor, who Belichick coached as defensive coordinator of the Giants, and Bill being Bill responded like this.
Bill, you've seen a lot of good pass rushers in your career, starting with Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White. Does Mack sort of rank up there, one of the better ones you've seen?
No, wait a minute, we're talking about Lawrence Taylor now. Yeah, I'm not putting anybody in Lawrence Taylor's class, so. You put everybody down below that. That's... with a lot of respect to a lot of good players now, but we're talking about Lawrence Taylor.
He just shut it down.
But
so
it's Bill
quick.
Being Bill first and foremost, right?
Just mumbles into the microphone.
The only thing missing was we're on to Chicago. I mean, other than that, that's just Bill being Bill.
And I understand where the question's coming from. Like, I understand the idea behind it. And you want to get a good quote. And they ended up getting a really good quote out of it, actually, with Belichick saying that. But no. Let's be very real about what Khalil Mack has done. Yes, he was Defensive Player of the Year a couple of years ago. But Khalil Mack, there were arguments for three or four different guys that year. Like, it's not like Khalil Mack was out and out, like, far and away the best Defensive Player of the Year. And then, you have to ask yourself, too. And I understand it's, like, such a weird thing. The Raiders did. Nobody would ever have traded Lawrence Taylor, even with
all the off the field,
all
right.
The extra stuff, right. And everything. No one ever would have got rid of Lawrence Taylor. Like that never would have crossed their mind. That never would have been a thought. And look, Khalil Mack's been fantastic. I get it, but Khalil Mack is doing it, and he's doing it with those extra eyeballs because of what happened with the trade, and everyone's like, ooh, you know, he gets to Chicago, who's got a long lineage of good defensive players, and so there's like a little extra eyeballs. I'm sitting here, and I know Khalil Mack has had his bye already, and I'm looking at, there's a lot of dudes that can lay claim to things of really good defensive player this year. I mean, J.J. Watt, Geno Atkins, T.J. Watt, Von Miller, Chandler Jones, DeMarcus Lawrence, Frank Clark, Za'Darius Smith, Jason Pierre-Paul. Like, they all have more sacks than
Khalil Mack.
Not
that you did any research on this to rattle off that many names, but you're right. That's what I was going to say. If you want to be compared in the same breath as Lawrence Taylor, you got to do it for the entire body of work.
Yes.
You got to do it at a level. Now, J.J. Watt was well on his way before the injuries,
sure,
of stacking and racking some of these big-time accomplishments that get you to put in the same breath of Lawrence Taylor. And granted, it's okay to not be Lawrence Taylor, and still you could do things like make the Hall of Fame, make Pro Bowls, be a perennial All-Pro player. But Lawrence Taylor, when you just
football.
Watch the tape, yeah, I mean,
he changed football. Like you redesigned the way people approach football after Lawrence Taylor played.
I mean, you look at it and you say Reggie White, Lawrence Taylor. There's very few that you can say over the body of work changed the game.
I don't know that there's anybody like on that way right now. There's
no,
really not.
No, I mean, and the thing is, Clowney wants to be in that category. And the fact is, and I know you wrote about this for sportsmap.com too and said you got to wrap up Clowney, but the thing is, Clowney from the same draft class as Mac, as Aaron Donald, who in most people's minds and estimations are the two best defensive players in football right now, he wants to be paid like those guys. And I don't think the Texans, because of JJ's salary and other things, are in a position to pay him that much. I don't think he's done enough to warrant that. But I think that overall, it's going to be a discussion and a dialogue that's going to continue, because if he hits the free agent market, he's gone.
Oh, yeah, and he's getting paid.
Right. Not maybe not that much, but he's going to get paid.
He'll get paid.
All right, we're going to take a break. Here it comes. Nick, hopefully the calls are going to start coming in. We're going to get Sigmund Bloom in here. We're going to talk fantasy football for the next segment. If you have questions and you need lineup answers, he's going to have them for you. So please call 713-780-3776 or text us at that number or hit us up on Twitter. We'll stack them and rack them and get the questions answered by Sigmund Bloom coming up next on ESPN 97.5 and The Usual Suspects.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Hour number 2, 3-hour extravaganza. It's called The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5. Top of the hour, we'll be joined by the sports mappers on 94.1 FM as well. Barry is out in Portland doing some comedy in one of my favorite towns in the United States. Cody Stutes generously giving up his time, stopping in to spend some extended time with us. You know he joins us on Fridays. But he's going to join us today. Speaking of joining us, Sigmund Bloom's about to join us. We're going to talk some fantasy football. You guys are all in these fantasy football leagues, and you guys all have questions. Well, Sigmund has answers, and we appreciate the fact that Sigmund pushed it back a segment because he is busy. He does like 18,000 interviews a week on fantasy football. So 18,001 as we screwed up his schedule. We're on remote, Sigmund, so forgive us. But Sigmund Bloom joins us now. He is the foremost expert on fantasy football. If you want to follow him, at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter. That's S-I-G-M-U-N-D Bloom. And also go to footballguys.com, where if you don't get your question in during this segment, make sure you go to footballguys.com. He's great about getting to the questions, giving the answers all the way up till game times over the course of the weekend. With that being said, Sigmund, welcome to the show. Lots of people with lots of questions, but right off the top, what's on your mind in terms of things people should be aware of this week?
Well, we got a London game that's actually starting at 8:30 Central, so make sure before you go to sleep on Saturday to set any lineups with Titans or Chargers. Also, four teams on bye, so we're digging a little deeper, maybe going to the waiver wire, but there are some plentiful options, guys like Jermaine Kearse of the Jets, Damian Ratley going down to face Tampa Bay. They're going to be put into a lot of snaps and matchups that should result in some good stats. So there is some waiver wire help wide receiver this week.
Okay, here we go. Some of the text rolling in. Tevin Coleman or LeSean McCoy?
Oh, I'll go with McCoy because the Bills defense can keep this game close and get him up to 20 touches. Coleman's going to split with Ito Smith, and I'm not sure that Ito is the better back there in Atlanta.
Quarterback question, Baker Mayfield or the Texans Deshaun Watson?
I'm going with Mayfield. I'm worried about Watson making it through that game. And I just think that the offensive line is not protecting him enough, and the Jags are going to be angry after the way they were humiliated last week.
Interesting question for you as well, because defenses were going to be key for a lot of people this year when they thought if they got a premier defense, yeah, like Minnesota, like Jacksonville. It seems to me like defense is basically a lost art in the NFL, except if you're the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, where are you in terms of team defenses?
Yeah, you're looking at matchups more than taking one and holding them and playing them all year. Even Chicago, who was hot for us for a while, there's no way you should have them in your lineup against New England. So this week we're looking at matchups. Like even tonight, Arizona against Denver. You would look at the Chargers against the Titans offense, which is flatlining right now. Like even Buffalo's defense, if there's a defense actually that's been playing up to that level, it's Buffalo. They just had an offense to balance them out. So it's certainly you're probably not playing the defense that you drafted unless it's Jacksonville just because of how poorly Houston's offensive line has played.
Hey, Sigmund, is this one of the weirder years you've seen for tight ends? It seems like outside of Zach Ertz, there's not really a tight end that you could bet on week in and week out. What's up with the big guys catching the balls this year at tight ends?
Well, Travis Kelce's been good because of Patrick Mahomes, but yeah, you're right. But I think we're going to see a few guys come on. Eric Ebron's been a surprise, of course, since Jack Doyle went down. David Njoku is becoming Baker Mayfield's favorite target, and Tampa Bay's been the worst defense against tight ends, so he's looking great this week. Rob Gronkowski is due. We saw him at the end of the win over Kansas City show that he can still make some big plays. I would look for Evan Ingram getting back in the mix to help. He should play Monday night against Atlanta. And Ricky Seal-Jones is coming on. He has a good matchup. So I think you're right, but the ranks are getting a little bit deeper. C.J. Uzomah is another good name against Kansas City. He's getting all the tight end targets for Cincinnati. Greg Olsen has come back, so it's getting a little bit better.
We've got Blake on hold. He's got a question. Blake, what's up?
Well, we've got Mo. Mo, what's your question?
Oh, Mo. Okay, Mo, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? Standard league, two questions. Wentz or Trubisky? And then running backs, I need two. James White, Howard, Hyde, or Lindsey, Philip Lindsey.
Go with White and Lindsey. Lindsey has a great matchup tonight. And then I would go with Wentz over Trubisky, even though the numbers have been there. He actually didn't play as well as his numbers indicate against Miami. And I think that Belichick will have a few tricks up his sleeve for him this week.
Someone wants to know thoughts on Philip Lindsey, running back for the Broncos this week.
Well, even if he only gets 12 or 15 touches, Arizona's run defense is so bad. But we may see Vance Joseph coaching for his job with Bill Musgrave relying more on the run. That's been the better part of this offense. Case Keenum maybe not fitting as well in that offense. So I would be inclined to play Philip Lindsey in any close calls this week. And same with Royce Freeman.
All right, here we go. Do you trust Flacco enough to start Brown over Ingram?
Over Mark Ingram, maybe not. I mean, I'm afraid that Marshawn Lattimore is going to be on John Brown to limit that deep passing game. If I like anybody from the Ravens passing game this week, it might be Willie Snead. So I would probably get Ingram in my lineup over John Brown.
Quarterback, Watson or Breeze?
Breeze. And I know Breeze is on the road at Baltimore, but really I'm worried about Deshaun Watson. I just think that in any game now, we're worried if he's going to finish the game.
Way to put the fear of God in Texans fans, Sigmund. That's always a good thing.
I know, and it wasn't a great night last night for Houston fans either, so it's tough. I wish that I had better news about the Texans. But, hey, they're still tied for first place.
They've won three in a row, but it's done with smoke and mirrors. Phillip Rivers or Carson Wentz?
I'll go with Carson Wentz here just because Rivers doesn't have the ceiling that Wentz has. Wentz is facing a vulnerable Carolina secondary this week.
In a flex, Galladay or Marvin Jones Jr.?
It's Galladay. And look, Galladay's their number one receiver. He's making number one plays. And I actually think that Marvin Jones is still getting the number one coverage. So Xavien Howard might be on Jones more than Galladay this week.
PPR choose one. Ito Smith versus Alex Collins versus Smallwood. Funchess or Curse PPR as well?
I'd like Funchess and Curse this week. I would probably lean towards Funchess because he's making those touchdowns, but both are good plays this week. I'll go with Ito Smith. He scored in three straight weeks against the Giants in Atlanta on Monday night. He should be able to make it four in a row.
Breeze or Bortles, and then Dalton or Mayfield?
Breeze. And just Bortles is nowhere near our lineups right now. I do like Mayfield this week. Tampa Bay's defense is so bad. So if there's a week to put Mayfield in your lineup, this would be it.
Luck or Stafford?
Stafford. I don't want to start anybody against the Bills' defense the way that they're playing right now. T.Y. Hilton might be back this week, but that's not enough for me to put him Luck in a bad matchup over Stafford in a pretty good one coming off a bye.
John Brown or Golden Tate?
Golden Tate's a safe play here against Miami. He's not going to draw Xavien Howard, and Tate has been a very solid play for us week in, week out.
Okay. Any questions on when Green Bay's receivers are coming back? Because I know they're on the bye week now, but everybody, is it worth the risk of taking some of those young guys up there?
You know, I would actually be holding Marquez Valdes-Scantling because he has been outplaying Allison and Randall Cobb, who's had multiple errors. So I think even when Cobb and Allison are healthy, Valdes-Scantling should remain part of that passing game. And Cobb hasn't been able to stay healthy for long. Look, as far as we know, the Packers were thinking about releasing or trading Randall Cobb in the preseason. So Valdes-Scantling is establishing that chemistry with Rodgers. He offers a lot more speed downfield. I think he's the guy to hold out of the three.
Based on what Jimmy Graham has done recently, too, I know Nick has Jimmy Graham on his bench every week. Is it starting after the break where you feel like the chemistry is even getting better with Rodgers and he's going to have a big second half?
I think so. And what we really need to see to put him over the top is the red zone chemistry. That hasn't been there. But Aaron Rodgers is going to be as healthy as he's been all year after the bye. And I would expect Graham to join Kelce, Gronkowski, Ertz in that elite tight end tier.
You mentioned both of these in passing in different with different situations. Jags defense or Arizona tonight against the Broncos?
Jags defense. And I think that this is kind of going to be a pride game for them. And what was it when Tennessee went to Jacksonville? 9-6. So in those leagues where you get points for yards allowed and points allowed, I think that should also be a good one here. We know the Texans aren't going to get much going in the run game. So Jags are the number one defense to play this week.
Cousins or Mahomes?
The answer is always Mahomes, always. There's nobody I'm benching Mahomes for until my team gets hurt multiple weeks in a row for starting him.
All right, well, there you go. That's another great segment. Again, appreciate you pushing it back a segment as we're on a remote. But, again, if you want to follow him, at Sigmund Bloom, he is the foremost expert on fantasy football. You can follow him and get all your questions answered, even if we didn't get to him here on the show. And of course, if you can't get him via Twitter, and I don't know why you can't, you can also catch him up on the website footballguys.com, where he Sigmund, tell him all the different things you got going on leading up to kickoffs on Sunday.
On Sunday mornings, we do a live show. We go over injuries and matchups. I have a thread of the message board where I answer questions up until game time. We do 9 episodes of my podcast, The Audible, a week, where we cover every angle we can in fantasy football. So we've got you covered.
There you go. Sigmund, have a great weekend. Appreciate you always checking in with us. There you go. Sigmund Bloom. Check with him on Twitter. Check with him at footballguys.com. That dude, we always asked him, like, and I know he does other shows, but it's remarkable that when the listeners have, like, random questions, like third flex, this guy or that guy, and he just boom, 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 boom. He knows every single matchup they're talking about ahead of time, so it's fantastic stuff. And we like to make sure that you guys, the listeners, get the information you need so you win all these fantasy leagues. I saw you, Cody Stutes, checking your roster while asking, that's cheating.
That's not cheating. That's listening to the usual suspects.
Well, what you need to do on a regular basis, because you haven't been doing that. We need to make sure that we point that out. All right, we've got two in the books. We've got one to go. 1 hour left of the show, and that's going to be a simulcast on SportsMap 94.1. The Mappers join us next. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Closing time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.